But he brought up another topic.
This is under the basic loops in your examples?
Yep. Under basic loops. Okay, this is basic loops. So what I'm filling in is number of times 4, start amount 50, amount to subtract 12, and I'm putting nothing in amount left because it's going to calculate amount left. Now, it would have been better to make amount left a read only so that they don't think, am I supposed to put something in here or not put something in here? Okay, it's a good idea to do that. So now if I click on do while loop pre, it says, okay, $50 is for 50 is where I started. I subtracted 12 4 times, and what I have left is 2. Okay, not exactly heavy lifting. I'm subtracting 12 from 50 and getting 38, and then going down to 26, and then going down to 14, and then going down to 2. And so what I have left is 2. Now, a couple of things I want to talk about, and we'll go inside and look at this, is I have pre and post. Pre means that I'm asking the question before I go into the loop. Post means I'm doing the loop once and then asking the question. And we'll look at that code in a minute. So no matter which one of these I click, I'm going to get the same answer. So notice I got 38, da-da-da-da. I do it again, and I got it. Now I fill the box. So when I do it again, it puts up the scroll bar, and I get the scroll bar. And when I do it one more time, it continues on and I get still the scroll bar. Okay, so I've got a whole load of times that I've done it here. But I wanted to point out that the scroll bar gets added automatically. Okay, so what was that box? If you go over here and click on the box, it tells you it was a list box. So you know what these are. If you can't figure out what something is, go over and click on the properties, and it tells you it's a list box. So to get that box, I went over to tools, and I brought over the list box. Okay? So now, if I go in and look at the code. Okay, so in this first one, I've got a do while loop. And notice it starts out with do while. It has the code inside it. And then loop means now it's time to go back. So loop is the word for the end of the loop. Visual Basic doesn't use curly braces like the C kind of languages do. So it has some word that indicates the end of the loop. And in this case, with the while, it's do while, and I have a loop. Then the next one down, I did the do while, but this time I put the while at the bottom. So this one will always be done once. Okay, so this one is always done once. And we'll look at that in a minute. Whereas the other one is not. Okay. Then the next two are a do until, and I can have the test on the do until before, or I can have the test on the do until after. And if I have it after, it always does it once. And I got to keep the same rating. That was exciting. Okay, so with these, I have a choice of having the question at the top, which determines whether you even do it even once, or the question at the bottom, which means that I do it once and then check to see if I want to do it again. So you can write these in either way.
The top one checks once too, right?
it checks once, but only if the work count is greater than the number of times. And work count starts out at once. So if I say do it zero times, let's see what happens. If I put in here, okay, I want to do it zero times. And if I do the do until pre, I'm not getting anything. I'm getting the fact that 50 is left. Okay, because it didn't do it at all. If I do it with the one below, it comes back and does it once. Even though it was zero, it did it once and told me that it did the subtract and that 38 was left. Okay, so this one is the check at the bottom. And the other one was the check at the top. Because in that one, I said do, so it did it. It added one to count, so it was now one. Is one greater than the number of times? No, yes it is, so it got out. Because the number of times is zero, one is greater than that, so it got out. Whereas when I checked at the top, word count was set at one, is one greater than the number of times, which again is zero. It's not, so it never went in. Now, an important thing on this one that I want you to be sure to look at. Is the add things to the list box. Okay? So the list box is called list trace. Okay, this box over here is called list trace. And actually, let me stop this. No, that's not going to work. Okay, so this list box is called list trace. And if I go in here, I can click up here and find list trace. And there it is. Okay? And I even left the value in there, so it says list trace, just so you could see what it was when I was doing. So that's the box, list trace. Now, list trace, when I ran it, you saw that it has a lot of things that get added to it. So if I put in here the four times, the 50, and the 12, and I click on it, notice that it wrote four things. Okay, so now I want you to look at how it wrote those. Okay, so I wrote list trace dot items dot add work message. So in here, work message is set up. Okay, let's look at what I did. I said do while word count is greater than text number of times. Do until word count is greater. Okay, right now word count is starting out at one and number of times I put is four. So now it says, okay, work answer equals work answer minus the number I want to subtract. And so I'm saying take work answer and make it equal to work answer minus the amount that I want to subtract, which I converted to a decimal. So I'm saying 50 minus 12, and that gives me 38, right? So then I say, okay, now work message, what I want to put out is going to say the word amount now, plus convert it back to work answer to string. And so I put up amount now, and then the work. And then I say, okay, now add that work message to this box, to this list box. So put that work message into that list box. And then add one to work count, because I'm counting how many times I did it. But the important thing there is that I'm saying take the list box, which is made up of items, and add an item. Basically, I'm saying add an item. It's made up of a collection of items. I'm adding an item, and that item is whatever is in word message. So that's how I get to write all of these, one right after another. Now, I started work answer out at the start amount. So I took the start amount, put it in work answer. Then I said, okay, now take work answer, which is 50, and subtract 12 from it, which is 38. So work answer is now 38. Then I said, set up the message to say amount now concatenated with 38. And then put it into the list box called list trace. The items in list trace add the work message. So that, you know, just quick reading of that doesn't tell you what is going on. You have to kind of analyze that and realize how list boxes work. List box works by having a collection of items, and I can keep adding an item to that collection. Questions?
What is the work count doing?
Just keeping track of how many times I want to do it, because I said up here I wanted to do it four times.
Yep.
So I started work counting at one, because this is going to be the first time. When it's done, I add one to it, which now makes it two, and it comes back and says this word count greater than the number of times.
Oh, okay, all right, I'm in.
And so two isn't greater, so it does it again. Okay.
When you set it up a number of times in the code itself without having the label and text box.
Sure. Well, yes. You can set it up as a variable, sure. I just wanted the user to have the flexibility. But if I don't care about the user, if I want it done 12 times because there's 12 months in a year, then I can just set that as 12. Questions? Okay, and then the for loop, which is the bottom one, works like this. I say for work count equal 1 to 4. Okay, so I'm saying start work count out at 1 and go up to 4. The for statement does three things for you, which you need in a loop. Okay? A loop needs to start the control. Okay? A loop needs to check a control. And a loop needs to change a control. And those they have to do. Okay? So, let me go back one, and then we'll look at the four. All right, so let me go back to the first one, the do while. So, on the do while, I am starting the control. Okay, so here is the stop. Okay, there's the stop. I'm starting word count at one. Then I am checking word count right here. And then I am changing word count right there. So I'm doing the three things that you have to do. I'm starting out word count as one. I'm checking the control, so I'm saying do while word count is less than or equal to. And then I am changing word count. Because if you don't change word count, the word count will always stay the same, and the while loop will go on forever. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. And now I want to get rid of that without getting rid of the other, and I don't think I can do that. I think it all goes away, so there we have it. So now in the for loop has the start point. So there's the start. There's the end. And it has an increment by one. Increment by one is the default. You can actually increment by other than one if you actually write it in. You can write a for statement where you say that you want to change it by two or change it by three. Okay? But here I have the start, the stop, and the increment by one. So the for statement is really nice because it does everything within the for statement. So notice that I don't need the word count equals word count plus one because it automatically increments by one. Okay? The control is right here. It starts it at one, so that takes care of the starting. And it checks every time it goes back, compares one to four. So it is doing everything kind of automatically, and you don't have to have as much code. But for statements are meant for things like counting 1, 2, 3, 4, and not for other kinds of checking. Okay. So that's what's going on those, that this particular problem. Anybody got a problem? There's lots of different kinds of loop statements. I pick these to do. Okay, so the next one. We're going to open the next solution. Do you want to stop debugging? Yes. File, open. And I have them already on my flash drive, which would be a good idea for you to do too. I think use boxes is the next one. Okay, this has a collection of items. So if you look at that particular box and you come over here under items, it tells you that it has a collection of items. And if you look at that collection of items, you can see what's in the box. Okay, so this was a box. a list box. If you go over under the list box and look under items, because remember we were doing before dot items dot add, we were adding to the items. Here I have set up a collection of items, and this is the collection of items. And so that's what appears in the box. So when I'm designing this, I can put in a collection of items, and that is what appears in the box. So I just went to items, collection, click on the three little dots next to it, and then I can enter the things one per line that I want in the collection. Okay. Next Tuesday we'll go about how to fill these boxes in a variety of ways. But we're not going to do that today.
You said items is just in the bottom right corner, right?
It's in items, is in the properties. See it down here in the properties?
You click that, and that's the stream collector.
That's the collection.
Comes up.
Yep. So, you know, the first, if I cancel out of this, if I've set up this empty box, let's say, I come over to items, I click on the three dots right there.
Yeah,
and I click on those three dots, and then I just type those three to four things in. And I could have typed more things in, I could have typed different things in, I just type those four things in. Whatever I type there is going to show up in the box.
How do I have items?
Hmm?
Like,
in my example?
Click on the box.
Click on the box, and it's called list job. For list box, it's called list job. And then if you look at the collection, there should be three, four things in there.
Okay. Okay.
Are they there?
Yeah. And you would get that off of the toolbox?
Get it off the toolbox.
Like you would get that?
List box off the tools, yes. Yes. So if you go to the toolbox and you click on, I think it's under common controls. Yes, there it is, list box. So now I've got a bunch of things that I'm doing here. So I'm going to start in. And the first thing it does is it asks me to put in a name. So Jane Doe. Then I come down and I click Calculate Pay. And when I click Calculate Pay, it asks me to enter the pay per hour. And so I'm going to enter 40. And then I'm going to say it enters hours works. Now notice those showed up in different places. And we'll look at those in a minute. So I'm entering hours work, which is also 40. 40 times 40 is 1600. So I'm calculating the pay and coming up with 1600. Okay. So let's look at the code that made that happen. Okay, so I put up an input box. And on the first one, I just left the defaults. On the second one, I put in the 02020, which got it up at the top. Those are the parameters about where you want the box to be. Okay. So putting those numbers in there gets me parameters about putting the box someplace. So if I come down here and I can't do it because I'm running, But if you weren't running and you put the cursor there, it would come up and let you know the numbers that you can put in if you're not running it. So the 020 repositioned, 02020 repositioned the input box. If you don't put any numbers in, it will give you the default location, huh? Kind of in the middle, right? And then if you want it someplace else, you can put in the 02020.
What tells you, put numbers,
put it where? Well, you kind of have to figure that out. So I've now taken it away, and I'm putting a comma here. And it comes back and says X position, Y position. So the 2020, I think, was the X position and the Y position, and the default response was apparently a zero. Default resolve response. Okay. Default response is string expression displaying the text box as the result if no other input is provided. If you omit the default response, then the text box is empty. So let's try that. I forgot that. Okay, and then X position and Y position, so 2020 positioned it. Try it changing that 2020 to two other numbers, any numbers you want, and see what the difference it makes is. Okay. So if I put in there, let's say, hello, and then 40, 40. So let's see what that would get me if I put those in. Okay, so notice, first of all, I'm getting the word hello in there as the default. Okay, and I actually should run it again because I moved that aside and I shouldn't have done that. So, calculate pay. Okay, and then I crashed because I didn't give it the information it needed. Okay, so I'm opening it. Jane Doe. I'm going to actually put this over here so we can see it. And then I said calculate pay, and it came hello, and it looks like it's 40-40. And so I am putting in there 40, and it said okay, and 40, and it said okay, and I get the 1600. Okay, so that got me the hello, and it positioned it at 40-40. The other one I had a zero showing up in the box, and it positioned me at 20-20. Okay. Now, we get into something kind of interesting. Wow, am I feeling terrible. I feel like the fever's coming back. Here I am saying, look at the list job, which is a list box, and look at the selected index. So it's looking up here, and this is 0, this is 1, this is 2, that's 3. That's the index. Okay, that's the index. So if the person clicks on index 0, which is analyst, or index network administrator, which is 2, then they are going to get a 5% raise. If the selected index is a 1, which is programmer, or 3, which is web developer, they're going to get a 6% raise. Do you see how that's working? So because the stuff is in here, I can say, click on one of these, and that is the selected index. So if I click on the first thing, the selected index is 0. If I click on the next thing, the selected index is 1. And then I go 2 and 3. Yes, no, maybe?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I calculate the work with the raise. Okay, so let's run this. So I'm going to pick programmer and then say calculate raise, and it does it. Okay, so the raise was 6% above what it was, and so it calculated the raise. Okay. And then this last line says, in this text job, in that text job field, okay, take the selected index of this job, the same thing that we tested, okay? So get me the thing that the selected index is pointing to. Get me the thing that you clicked on. So I clicked on programmer, selected index of 1, so it says go into there, get the thing that has a selected index of 1, and put it in this box, which is called text job. Yes, no, maybe? Yes? Yes, yes. With 3 people, you have to tell me yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Then the last thing is, I did a count. So other things I click on, and other things was I got me a count, how many things are in this list box. So it gave me a count because I said go to list box and give me the items.count. And then the next thing that came up was programmer. I said, go to list job, the box, go to the items as if the index was 1. I happened to have chosen 1, so it was 1. But if I had had a 3 there, it would have come up with web developer. Okay. And now I want to add a job. So I'm going to say add job. And it comes up with another thing. And I am putting on there. Notice this one does not have any number or any word in here between comma, comma, which means that nothing will be in the box. And then I put in key in a new job, so security. I will put in, and I say OK. And it now tells me the new count is 5. And if I go back up here to other things and click on it, it now tells me the count is 5. So I added something to the box. And if you scroll down in the box, you can see that it actually added it to the box. Okay. We're next to the last line here. Text added job done text. I want to know the name of the job judges added. So I said, go to the list job items. I know that the count will give me 5 now because I've added something. But the count will give me 5 because there are 5 things. But the indexes go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So when I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When I have an index, I count 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I want to get the last one. So I say, go to list job in the items area. Do a count which comes up with 5. Subtract 1, which gets me 4, and 4 will bring up the bottom. That's a tricky thing, okay? It counts 5, but the index for this one is 4. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, or up there. So the index for that one is a 4. The count gives me 5. I want to get the index, so I subtract 1, and that gives me the index. The index is the pointer, and it goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. But when I count, I get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Somebody look like that makes sense? Or ask a question? You've either got to ask a question or you got to indicate that it makes sense.
1 is 2, 2 is 3.
That's right. Right. So I count 5, but the indexes go 1, 2, 3, 4. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Any questions about this one before we move on to the third one? Close the solution first. Lots of things it probably does if you don't add something and then you go in. I tend not to put error checking in my programs, and from one point of view that's lousy because everything should be error checked. But from the other point of view, I end up taking up so much space on the error checking and it's redundant. So I don't do a lot of error checking to make sure that people entered things. If I was doing it for the real world, I would make sure that every box that a user enters in, I check to make sure they enter something valid. Because you have to make the assumption.
As simple as, like, if there's nothing in the box, they want to allow you to
press right.
Okay, it would solve the issue.
That's
there's
right.
There's a cancel button. So.
But you have to use, you know, that takes a lot of extra code.
Yeah, I know.
And so I don't tend to put it in the programs when I'm trying to illustrate something. But yes, you should always do that. You should always assume that your users have done this post. And, you know, you got a pet dog hitting the keys or whatever. Because you always want to assume.
I don't know. I just like to see if the code like this.
There is a program that I think is coming up where I do a lot of error checking. but I didn't in these. Okay, this one is different boxes. So here I've got a bunch of different boxes. And again, the way you find out what they are is you click on them. So here's one box, and this is, if I come over here, a list box. Okay, this is simply a text box. This is a checked list box. Okay, so a checked list box has things beside here that you can check. So if you want to drag over checklist box, that's what you have. Now notice I've put things inside these boxes. So first, if I look at the top list box and I look at the collection, you can see all of the things that I put in there. Whoops. I didn't want to say okay then. I wanted to take a picture. Okay, so those are all the things that I put in there. Now, notice that they are divided up into multiple columns. Okay? So if you look down, look for something you think might do that for you. A property that might do that. And the one I see is multi-column. So I got multi-column set to true, which means that it is going to use multi-columns to fit things. And down in the other one, the checklist box, if you look at the three dots after items collection, you see the things that I wanted to enter in there. So I want to check and see if we teach PHP. So I put PHP in there, and then I click to check, and it comes back and it tells me it's in the list. And if I put XYZ in there and click to check, it comes back and tells me not in the list. Down below, I'm going to check programming, internet developer, Visual Basic, PHP, basically every other one. And I click for account, and it tells me four, and it also shows me the ones that I checked. So looking at the code for this, I check, and there's lots of things you can do with list boxes. We were doing and. Now we're looking at it and saying list languages, which is the name of the list box, items.contains. So I'm asking if it contains what is in textlanguage.text. And I type PHP in textlanguage.text, and it came up in the message box and showed in the list. Now, when I typed XYZ, it came up with the message box and said not in the list. So, we've had ads, we've had contains. There's a lot of different clauses that we'll look at that you can put on this box.items. Okay, and this one shows contains. And then I said here, all right, I'm setting up a loop. And my loop is going to go from 0 to the count minus 1. Again, I'm referring to indexes. Index style was 0. And so I don't want the count. The last one is count minus 1. So I'm saying go from 0 to count minus 1. Okay, so if there's 5 things and count is 5, the last one is in the 4th position with an index of 4. So 5 minus 1 gives me 4. So then I look at the box, which is CLB courses, and I'm asking if it is checked. Get item check count equals true. So I'm going to go through and the count is going to go from 0 to whatever, 4. And I'm going to see if it was checked. If it was checked, then I add 1 to count and I put it down in the box. I take what's in this box and put it in the other box. And then I add 1 to count. And I just keep going through that loop. And moving, if something was checked, then it adds to a counter and it moves it to the box. Okay, so if I check off 3, actually I didn't check any of them. And then I say check for count and it tells me 3, and it moved every one of the ones I checked down to the box. Yes, no, maybe? Everybody? Make sure you go over these, because these are kind of techniques, this collection of items that you can do things to is real important in Visual Basic. So be sure you take a look at those.
How often in the real world do we use Visual Basic?
How often do I? None. But that's because I don't program anymore. I used to work as a consultant and I used to do programming part-time. And actually I did Visual Basic quite a lot back then. Visual Basic is probably not as widely used as C and Java. They're usually 1 and 2. Visual Basic always makes it into the top 10. Either Visual Basic or visualbasic.net. I just recently, 2 years ago, had a woman that went to work for a bank in Boston who wanted Visual Basic. Everything the bank does is in Visual Basic, apparently, or at least everything in her area. So, is Visual Basic, C and Java, I think, are the more popular languages. Then Python has become a popular language, and we don't teach that. It's very similar to PHP. A lot of it's similar to PHP. PHP is the most popular language for the web, which is why we teach PHP. Python didn't used to be that popular, but it's grown in popularity. So if you ever want to learn a language on your own, which you're more than capable of doing after you learned a few languages,
I
Python.
HTML5 first. It's like the basic. Okay.
But PHP would, I mean, Python would be a good language to add to your resume.
Now I kind of understand Python because of PHP, but only because of recently learning PHP. But Java is something that, before I learned JavaScript, like last semester, I was doing Java. But
Java and JavaScript are two different languages.
Like, entirely. And, like, the JavaScript, because of it, it looks like PHP, so it's like I can learn other languages now, but some of them still kind of confuse me. Like C++.
Oh, absolutely.
C++, I don't like it, but I'm starting to understand it. But you have to, I feel like you get to do more declarations in C++ than necessary.
Well, I haven't done C++ in years.
You can't even print anything or echo or anything like that without having an input stream and output stream declared before you can, you know. not really my favorite.
Okay, we're going to look at the last example, and I'm going home.
All right.
I am feeling incredibly lousy. So, in other words, no time for small talk.
Yes.
Okay. There's a couple of things I want to point out on this one. And I want you to go over it. But there's a couple of things that I want to point out. This is a game. And notice that that's a track bar. So that's another thing that I dragged over here, and it's called a track bar. So, a couple of things I want to talk about. This is a line. It gets you a random number between 1 and 25. Okay? So that generates a random number. Every language has something that can generate a random number, because generating random numbers takes a heck of a lot of code. And so languages provide that rather than making you reinvent the wheel. So what I've got there is I defined random number as a new random. And then I said random number between 25 and 1 assigned to the random number, which is an integer that I'm using. And that's the main thing that I wanted to point out here. The other thing is, I have got a with statement there. And this probably isn't a great example of it because it's pretty short. But if you get sick of writing da-da, dot, da-da, dot, etc., I can say here, with LDL message, dot, for color. So that means LDL message, dot, for color is that. It's just a way of not having to write LDL message over and over and over again. That's all it does for you. But if you have two or three things with dots connected them and you're using them a lot, or you've got long things, this is a way of only having to write it once. So I set up an area for a message to have a forecolor of black, a back color of light gray, and a border style none. Okay, so now let's see it run. I've got a text TRB guess, which is the name of the scroll bar, and I scroll on it. And when I scroll on it, the value that comes up, I'm assigning to this field. So I'm showing the value that comes up. I didn't have to do it. But I have this little box here that's going to show the value that comes up. So I'm going to scroll over to the midpoint, which is around 12 or 13. And I'm going to, oh, wait a minute, I messed up. The first thing you have to do is say play game. Because notice the play game generates a random number. And if you don't say play game, you're not going to get the random number. So I'm clicking on play game. That generates a random number. And notice play game went away. I can't click on it now until I've got the guess. So now I go over to 12. And I say check guess. And there's the black. The message is black on light gray with no border. It's too high. So now I'm going to go and look at 5. Check guess. It's still too high. So now I'm going to go down to 1. That would be obviously too low. So now I'm going to go to 3. You guessed it. So when I guess it, I change the color to crimson, the background color to beige, and I put a fixed 3D border around it. And notice play game came back, so that now I can play the game again. Okay. So button check went and checked and said, if your guess, which got put in textguess.txt, equals the random number, then you got it. So I'm looking to see if their guess equals the random number, and if it did, I've got it. If it didn't, then I say, okay, is it greater than the random number? Put out your guesses too high. Otherwise, put out your guesses too low. So I generate a random number. I get something on the bar. The TRB guess is the value where I stopped on the bar. And I take that and I compare it to the random number. And if it's true, you got it. Otherwise, and I set the play game visible to true. Yes, no, maybe? Yes, no, maybe? Okay. We have finished those 4 examples. I am finished.